You're listening to ROD, coming at you live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the ROD Show here on Dave Pratt's Star Worldwide Networks, broadcasting from high above Camelback Road in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. I am your host, Otto Daniolo, and today my guest is the lovely and talented Kim Weston, violinist, singer-songwriter, jazz singer, Kim Weston. Kim and I will be chatting about her career in music and life in quarantine times and plans for 2021. But first, let's have a song from the Fervor catalog. Should say the Fervor Records catalog. Here's one called Singing the Good News by my good friend and Valley legend, Francine Reed, here on the ROD Show. Check it out.
I've been singing about the good news ever since these eyes of mine could see the light. I've been singing about these good news ever since these eyes of mine could see the light. On the day that I was born, the doctor slapped me on the bottom. I cried, glory, hallelujah. He cried, good Lord, she's got 'em. Now I'm singing the good news. I'm singing the good news.
Singing the good news.
I sing 'em when the good times roll around. I sing 'em when I'm low down to the ground. I sing 'em when the good times roll around. Sing 'em when I'm low down to the ground. Keep singing the good news.
Singing the good news.
I'm singing the good news.
Singing the good news.
Listening to ROD, coming at you live.
And that was Singing the Good News by the one and only Francine Reed here on the ROD Show, which is brought to you tonight in part by my good friends at Fervor Records and also by TheRecordingArtist.com, where bands record one of their songs live online every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I run the show and you get to watch, but you can also help out if you sign up at therecordingartist.com. And if you want to see behind the scenes footage and interview clips with some of the musicians that are on the show, then you can watch my new reality TV show on Amazon Prime Video called The Recording Artist. I think it's kind of awesome. Now, I know you're saying, Otto, how am I supposed to keep up with all your shows and guests? I understand. I get it. Between my weekly podcasts, my weekly live recording webcasts, the TV show, my concert schedule, how in the world are you supposed to keep up with all this? Well, I built an app for you. That's right. It's in your app store. Download the Otto D app. It's free. Grab the app, and then you'll get notifications when new concerts are scheduled, when my guests are announced, and when new episodes of The Recording Artist become available on Amazon Prime. You can even contact me right through the app, but don't try to contact me right now because I'm about to do an interview. And speaking of which, what do you say we bring my guest on, bring on this evening's guest now. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, she's a singer-songwriter and accomplished violinist and actually a wonderful singer, local Valley resident, Kim Weston. Kim, how are you doing?
Oh, thank you. Good.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, I love it. Appreciate it.
Here we are in the dead of winter, and we're obviously local. We both have long sleeves on.
Mm-hmm, true.
But I see everybody outside in shorts and t-shirts still, all of our visitors.
I can't do it. I'm super weak for the cold.
It's chilly. Have you always lived in the Valley?
I'm fourth generation native, so yes. I have no tolerance for any cold or snow or wind.
So have you spent any time in the cold parts of the country?
I mean, I have, yes. Yeah, I just have like to bundle trips up and...
Mm-hmm. You haven't spent like 2 weeks back in the snow with family?
I don't have any family back east, but I have spent some time in the snow before. I mean, honestly, we just have to go a few hours north and we can get snow if we want.
Yeah, you can go skiing.
Sure,
Are you an avid skier?
I can ski and I can snowboard.
Do you much?
I haven't this season.
Yeah, this has been a weird year for everything.
Right. I don't even know if it's open right now. But yeah, I do ski. Do you ski?
I've skied. I don't do it a lot, but I've skied.
I do it at a very steady pace all the way down. Yeah. My kids zoom fly past me, but I don't fall. I just stay steady.
Well, that's good.
And
you,
slow.
You can break a lot of body parts skiing if you're not careful. It's one of those dangerous sports.
True.
But, speaking of sports, are you into anything else like that? Do you do any other crazy activities?
Let's see. No, I don't. Not right now. I used to be a runner. I did track and went to college for on a track scholarship. So I did.
Really?
I did run.
You had
and
a
I
track
think
scholarship.
I did have a track scholarship, and I still have a record here in Arizona. I think for the 800.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, so I was really fast as a kid.
Where at?
I went to Valley Christian High School in Chandler.
Okay.
So a super small school, but we had a really good coach, and yeah.
And that's where you hold the record in the 880?
Yes, and I also think I held a record because it was a two-way school. So that helps me out, too. It wasn't like a big school. But I'm going to still say I
that's pretty
have
awesome.
Some accolades
but, I mean,
there.
You did well enough to get a scholarship.
Right. So I went on a track scholarship to Azusa Pacific University in California. And I wanted to study music business. So I did that for a year. And it was great. I loved it. Was in their choirs and whatnot. So I've always kind of wanted to do that. Stopped that for family life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm back at it. My children are grown.
Cool.
They're not entirely grown, but they're grown enough, I feel.
I think you're my first track star.
Cool.
That's pretty awesome. Did you grow up in a household of brothers that were all into sports, or how did you get into running?
My brother played football, but I just wanted to run. I wanted to run.
Away from my brother.
I think that was it. Yeah. Wait, who convinced me? Oh, I had a science teacher who convinced me to try out, and I tried out, and then I happened to be really good at it. So
that's pretty cool. So did you ever get into cross country too? I mean, those cross country guys were nuts. They'd run all day long around.
Well, I had to do cross country because that prepped you for the long distance 800 mile and 2 mile. So I did do mile. I do have a pretty good mile time, or had a pretty good mile time.
Uh-huh.
Just to let you know, my daughter has beat all of my records so far. She goes to Xavier.
Awesome.
So
that's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, but yeah. No, I'm proud of her.
I think that's
fascinating. I was a little bit sad.
Well, records are made to fall, you know, in sports.
Sure.
But since we're on that, this is funny. So are you a sports fan?
I'm good at watching basketball because my son plays basketball, and I'm good at watching that. I think it's like a fast, intuitive sport. I don't know. I'm bad at I'm not very good at watching football, but I'm trying to get into it a little bit.
Interesting.
My boyfriend likes it.
He likes football. we like football. We really like the Cardinals. I've always been a home team person. So I mean, I set my schedule during the football season so that I don't miss a Cardinal game. And the rest of the football games, it's like, if I catch something, I'll catch something. But I really like to follow the home team.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing that as well and becoming a Cardinals fan, but I haven't committed yet.
Well, it'll always be a heartbreak, like a lot of loves. but it's fun. It's
but
fun
are they
to
doing
have.
Well?
They've done well. They just finished the season, actually. So now the playoffs start, and they blew it right in the last day, which is, in typical fashion, fits the team. Yeah, but I think I think they're good. They've got some room to grow, and so there's a potential that it'll be better. So that's always exciting.
Yeah, good.
Wow, we've talked a lot about sports. That's very unusual on this show to talk about sports. Extremely unusual.
Mix it up.
I was a huge basketball player growing up. That was my thing. In fact, until I was in my mid-30s, I kept a basketball in my trunk, even though I never played anywhere.
Are you from here?
No. Well, I've been here since 89, so it almost feels like it. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I'm from the Midwest, where it is cold and icy. In fact, I got online yesterday, and this was weird. I don't know why I did this, but I went to, I know why I did it. I have a client who's coming in to do a show tomorrow night at therecordingartist.com. Uh-huh. The band's from Illinois, from a place called Oregon, Illinois.
Okay.
And they're called Just Winging It, and I hope that's not the case, but that's what they're called. And so I thought, Oregon, I should know where that's at. I don't know where that's at. So I got on the, Google Maps, and I found it. It's right outside Rockford, where my grandparents were from and where my mom and dad were born.
Oh, cool.
So I thought, gosh, we used to go there from my hometown of Peoria, drive up there every Christmas, or every year or so, and hang out. We'd play in that backyard on this little river, and I thought, gosh, with Google, I bet I can see the house. So I actually went to see my grandparents' house and found it. And interestingly, if you drive down the roads just to the east of the property, across the river, the camera took a picture of their house right from the side through the trees, and you can really see it. And I can see the door we used to go in and the shop my grandfather had where he made stuff in the basement. And the hill. It's like, wow, what a trip to kind of rediscover that. So
you
thanks,
don't even
Google.
Have to get on a plane.
I know. And they've both passed. There's nobody there. But it was interesting to just get that kind of a memory that quick from getting on a map.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cold at all on my computer. So that's the way to visit the Midwest in the winter, I'll tell you.
Were you a point guard?
You know what? I will answer that question with a very long answer.
Okay.
I was a point guard only because I was the shortest guy on our starting five, and I was this tall in eighth grade.
Okay.
I was 5'10", and we had two guys 5'11", and one guy 6 foot, and one guy 6'1".
But that's tall for eighth
grade. That's really tall for eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So I was really big for a point guard. Mm-hmm. And in our school, we only played about, I think it was five games, and five home games and five away games. That was our year. But then when I went to high school, I went into the big city, to the Catholic school, where they played 30 games a year since they were in fourth grade. And I hadn't played 30 games in my career. Mm-hmm. And I'm now one of the tallest guys on the freshman team. And they want me to play center. And I just was destroyed. And so I kind of never really got past freshman basketball.
I do still love watching basketball.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I think when you watch basketball, you don't want to watch on TV because the camera's on the ball and the game happens away from the ball. I like to go to the basketball game and
front row.
Well, not even that, but to really learn the game, you just want to watch somebody for a minute. Just watch them. You'll learn so much watching what they do when they don't have the ball. That's where most of the game is happening in basketball. So, TV makes it hard because you only see the guy with the ball.
Yeah.
So that's aggravating to me as a basketball player. But anyway, let's quit talking about sports.
Okay.
Let's talk about music. I know you're a great singer. Really enjoy your vocal work.
Thank you.
You are also a violinist, and you were playing violin before you were singing, I understand.
Right. So my mom asked me to pick an instrument, as most parents do, and I randomly picked the violin. And then I did lessons with, what's her name? I don't remember. Just for
that violin teacher.
That violin teacher.
I remember. Go on.
No, actually, they're really amazing locally.
Okay.
And I loved it. Great teacher. I think it was like once a week lessons. But then I ended up not being very good at doing the classical thing. And I think I just got burnt out. So I put the violin away for a little bit, but it's still, I love the violin because it's basically, it's melody instrument. So it's just my voice through the strings. So whatever I can sing, and I play a lot by ear. I remember having a lesson and my teacher told my mom, she goes, you need to watch her during lessons because she's not reading it. She'll listen to me. She'll ask me to play it and then she'll play it after I play it, but she's not reading the music. So I'm still not the greatest at reading music, but I love playing the violin. Yeah, I just play it. I like to play it by ear. And
how old were you when you started?
I think it was like 7 or 8.
Mm-hmm. And you say randomly picked it.
Randomly
so
picked it up.
So let's dive into the psychology behind that. Why do you think you randomly picked violin? What was the situation where you were even picking an instrument? Where they said you have to play an instrument or you're going to get grounded? I mean, how did that get started?
I don't know, because my brother didn't need to pick an instrument.
But you needed to. They said you have to play a musical instrument.
Yeah, she said pick an instrument, and I picked it.
Okay. Uh-huh. Did you pick it because it's pretty or because you'd seen something on TV? I mean, what do you think? Do you remember anything?
Who knows? I wish I remember.
I mean, I remember I started on trumpet, and when they came to the classroom and said, who wants to be in band? And I figured they had a bunch of instruments, and so you had to put your name and pick your instrument. But it was because my dad had a couple trumpet player records that I really liked listening to.
See, that makes sense. That makes sense to me. I don't have an inspirational moment where I pick the violin.
Mm-hmm.
And I, honestly, to this day, I do wish I also played an accompanying instrument, guitar, piano, so that when I write music, I'm not so dependent on someone else to, you know, chart everything out or even to hear myself with a melodic instrument backing it.
Right.
You can't do that with a violin. A violin is very much a voice, you know, mm-hmm. through strings. It's just
one melody. It's
like playing
piano with one finger.
Playing, thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's entire, that's true.
You're stuck to that one note.
Yeah.
In a sound. Or you can play too. You can play double stops. But I mean, typically speaking, like you say, it's a melodic instrument.
It's a melodic, yeah.
Well, there's still time to learn a rhythm instrument. You can still pick something up and play.
I'll pick it up in order to write music with it, just mm-hmm. write songs with it. But I don't think I'll ever be proficient like I have alongside me as a duo partner, mm-hmm. doing what they truly do well.
Right.
You know, so I don't ever want to be that person who...
You don't want to invest that kind of time to get that good at that role.
Plus, I love who I choose as duo partners who actually mm-hmm. really, truly understand their instrument. I love that. So...
Because
mm-hmm. I love being a vocalist. I don't really want to be a vocalist who also plays... I don't want to be a solo musician, I don't think.
Well, when did you start singing?
Oh my gosh, ever since I like how it feels coming out of my mouth. I've always sang. So inspiration there, I don't know, I listened to a lot of Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston growing up, gospel stuff. I sang a lot, like in the church and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a child, I did summer tour groups. So we would go on tour for like 2 to 3 months, and I would be gone for the whole summer.
At what age?
This was summer of 8th grade, and then a couple years after that.
That's like your parents sending you off on summer camp and not having to worry about you, but you were singing everywhere.
For sure.
How distant were the performances from home? I mean, when you're out
we went
two
to Australia. We Holy went cow. all over the United States, and then we would, you know,
that
go
had to
all
be
over.
Thrilling as a 13-year-old.
It was thrilling. I do remember. Because I loved singing, and you would find me in my room singing and listening to music, and it was always a thing. So my mom definitely picked up on that, which is probably why she said pick an instrument.
Yeah.
So, but I would sing all the time, and she sent me a link to audition for this tour group that would go, you know, overseas and do. So, yeah, I auditioned, I made the part, and then I would just do that, and I loved it. Made some friends. Yeah, it's fun. It was
That's
a Christian
cool. yeah.
situation, too.
But still, but I mean, what a great fun. Experience.
Yeah.
I think of so many people who never leave their hometown until their 20s or 30s, and the whole world is strange if you've never left home.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a lot of buses, a lot of long bus
oh, I
rides.
Bet.
And then I do remember we got sick in Vanuatu.
Sounds like a movie title.
Yeah. We're not supposed to drink the water. We did.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So little by little, every member of the band would go off stage and have to come back. It was pretty wild.
That's pretty crazy. So now you toured at 13 and you're running track in school and setting records. So you go off to college on a track scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Did you keep playing music while you were in college?
Yeah, so I went for music business. I think I wasn't brave enough to just go as an artist. I didn't even know what really that meant. Would you have done that?
I mean, was your heart just in the performance?
100%. But I don't think I had my... I just didn't have the guts for that yet.
So music business was... This is the safety that keeps me in music.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so I did that. But I was in the gospel choirs, and I loved it. And all my friends were musicians, and yeah, it was fun. It was great. And they had a good music program at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Started a family after that, so big break, but still always wanting to do music,
mm-hmm.
figuring out a way.
So how long did you stay with music business?
Only a year. So I stopped college. I was only there for a year. So that summer I was done.
And you mentioned that you started a family. You kind of jumped into that abruptly. Did you start a family as a sophomore in college? You quit college to get married?
I was 21, yeah. Okay. When I had my first kid. Okay. Yeah, so I was super young.
And she's the one who's been breaking the records on track.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
She's amazing too. She's a really good singer and she loves music as well. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys work together ever?
She will sing harmony on a lot of my songs.
Oh, yeah.
We have a piano in the house and she'll play the piano just by ear. She's great.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to do what I do. I think she wants to make a lot of money. And
and she sees that maybe music isn't the best path for that goal.
Well, I tell her it's the long game.
So. That's right. It sure we'll is. See, most people don't live long enough to finish the game. let's get back to school just for a second. Music business. Did you find something in your courses there that you really thought this is interesting? I mean, did that grab you at all? Or was it all like, oh, I hate this stuff. I can't believe I'm going to have to do this.
I loved the choirs that I was in. And I was very interested in the theory because you have to do some of those preliminary things in the beginning. So I was interested in that. So it still kept me going right back into, oh my gosh, I want to write a song. You know, I don't want to.
Look at you reading my notes, jumping my questions. I was going to ask you that next because we talked about when you started playing and when you started singing. But you are a songwriter. You've written a lot of songs.
Uh-huh.
So when did you write your first cut?
I wrote it in my little house on the cul-de-sac in Denton, and most of my songs start off as poetry, so I do write a lot of poetry. I'm actually working on publishing my first poetry book.
Oh, cool.
I know. I would love to do that. So I write a lot of poetry first, and then it'll just come out. I actually don't play the guitar, but that day, sat down, picked up the guitar, whatever my fingers were doing sounded okay, and I wrote a song. And then I went to Adam Armijo because he's great, and he could figure it out, and I, you know, sent it to him. He's
so
like,
"Here's what I mean. Now,
this
show
is
me
what
how
I
it
want
goes.
To do." Yeah. But let me get a real guitarist.
I've always done the same thing. I mean, I think that's what made me quit worrying about being a good musician is when I got into the studio.
Uh-huh.
I was 22, 23, and I'd try and cut my own song, and then I'd see these really great guys, and I'm like, why don't you just play my song?
No kidding.
It'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
And I think it made me put my instrument down for 15, 20 years because uh-huh. I thought, you guys play.
Well, of course. And I think that's so beautiful, having a band and having a group. And we all don't have the same talents.
Yeah. Paul McCartney once said in an interview after doing his McCartney 2, which he just did McCartney 3, but McCartney 2, the concept was he plays every instrument on the album. And after that record, he was asked about a band and he said that having a band is the greatest luxury.
Yeah.
You know, when you can just sit in a room with a guitar and play the song for them and have all of them give you that bounce back and feedback and bring the thing to life with this fresh personality.
For sure.
It's such a luxury for a songwriter.
Hmm. Which leads us into what you're doing.
What am I doing?
I don't know. Well, the
recordingartist.com thing. That's a blast. And it's part game show, part reality show, part variety show. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've invited you to be on too, and you're going to be on in about another week and a half or so.
I'm so excited.
A week from tomorrow, actually.
The very first, so the very first song I wrote was just by myself. Adam helped me figure it out. But then the first song I wrote in a studio was at Tempest Recording with Clark Rigsby.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys did not see a chart, they didn't see anything. And I just hired the best I could find, We went in there. Song was done in 2 hours.
And you just started singing, going, "Here's what I'm going to do."
Yeah,
this is what you guys going to do.
Right, right.
That's cool.
And it worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
It takes talented people, and everybody has to understand everybody's role. You know.
Uh huh. But they're professionals. Yeah. That's what they do.
Isn't that fun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I like the concept a lot.
Well, because we are kind of doing that 2 hour thing.
Yeah.
But. You know, you'd have to bring those professionals with you.
Because
we're not providing that kind of an environment yet.
That's okay.
So are you doing something like that where it's pretty rough and they haven't heard it? Is that what you're trying
they
to do?
They have a chart.
Okay.
And the song is fleshed out. Okay. So it's not as raw, but the song is fleshed out.
It's only 2 hours. It's one thing when you're paying for 2 hours and you're pushing the guys, but when you're online and the audience is watching, the 35 or 45 minutes arguing about A minor over A starts to get really boring.
Oh, no, we will not do that. Plus, I'm not that picky. Yeah. I'm not.
Well, it'll be fun. Who else is going to be performing with you at that event? A week from Wednesday at 7 p.m. at therecordingartist.com.
That's right. Log in. Pay your fees.
That's right.
I know. I need to shoot that out, too, because there's a lot of people I've been talking to that are like, this is cool.
You know what? It's
besides
really cool.
Besides my mother, like a lot of people.
You can sign up for free and watch the 15-minute recap videos of all the sessions. We're about 6 weeks behind right now because I'm giving that to another person to do.
Yeah.
So they're running a little behind on getting all the videos out. But eventually, there'll be a 15-minute video of every show. If you don't want to pay a penny, you get all that free content. If you want to pay to watch the shows every Wednesday, it's $3.99 a month. You know, it's nothing. You can cancel the minute after you sign up, and you're only out $4.
Too low.
You know, well, we can have that conversation another time.
Okay.
But I can tell you this: if you don't want a recurring charge, you can buy a one ticket pass. It's $9.99. It's 30 days. You get 4 shows, and you're out, and you'll never get billed again.
Okay.
If you really want a break, and you want to lie to me and tell me you're a student, there's a $2.99 ticket for you to get involved. You know, and then there's a $49.99 annual fees, which saves you even more money, but then you just get hit once a year.
So
it's kind of, you know, it's not expensive, but it's fascinating. Our audience is not so much music people as they are people who enjoy music, but just really enjoy process. They can't believe that 5 or 6 people can come in the room. We start the clock. We're live online. Mm-hmm. And then our head of A&R comes on the big screen and goes, "This is the song you're going to be playing." And then 2 hours later, the record's done.
People, I believe it.
Can't believe that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they watch. They just go, "Oh my God, how do they do that?"
Yeah.
It's like a magic trick.
It's a magic trick. I love it too because when I write a song, everyone focuses on different things when it comes to a song. I love lyrics, melody second, and then feel is always, you know, I don't know where it can actually go, but when you bring those guys in, sometimes that starts to develop and you're like, this is what it should be.
Yeah, and when I hear what people are doing as a producer, it's kind of like, I guess, as a music fan, I get real excited. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, do this, you know?
Yeah.
Because it'll pay off more for me if you do this, you know?
Well, I welcome that.
Yeah, and I do that all the time, and I'm always pushing all these singers around. In fact, the singer who was on the show quite a while back, John Willis, said he had watched a show that featured Brian Chartrand.
Oh, cool.
And I had pushed Brian a little bit vocally on one section, apparently, and there was a comment made about, I think I said to Brian, "I'm going to put my knee in your back and just, you know, sing what I want, Brian," or something, you know. And we joked about it. I had a great time on the show.
Yeah.
But John, I started telling John what to do with this vocal. I had an idea, and he goes, "Oh, is this the part I heard about the knee in the back?" You know? And I thought, yeah, I push you. And the reason I push people is because I get the impression they can go farther.
Okay.
If I get the impression they're giving me all they have, you know, it's like, okay, well, why would I push you? If this is what you have, I'll take it. So it's fun when you know the band is great and you can dig in there and get stuff out of them.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Speaking of Brian's coming. So these days I'm...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really into... I love harmony and I love background vocals.
You know, there's a small chance that Brian's listening, so I'm going to tell him a secret.
Okay.
I love you, man. You better be there on Wednesday.
Me too.
So... yeah, he's a talented mofo, both as a performer and a singer and a player.
Yeah.
And I think watching somebody work as hard as he has, for example, you talk about putting in the time to learn your instrument or get good at that role. I think when I first saw Brian, when he first came to this marketplace, he was a guitar player, but he's worked so much on his craft. He's a really good guitar player.
He's a crazy good guitar player, and
he's really
insane,
incredible
songwriter.
Yeah, he's a fantastic songwriter.
Drives me wild.
Yeah,
yeah, He's good.
Isn't that fun? We have a lot of talent in this valley. I've been blown away by the talent in this valley. But, you know, we can, I guess if you want to talk about the talent in the valley, we can. But this is our opportunity to kind of focus a bit on you. We are technically challenged here at the Otto D Show. So I finally got a song from you in my email, which I have downloaded.
Cool.
So now we'll see if we can actually play the tune. And what was the song that you sent me called?
So this one's called Can We Do Again? And I recorded it at Tempest, and I think there's a 6-piece horn section on it. It's like a big band feel. But again, it started off as a poem, and we just turned it in real quickly to a song. I love it. Shay Marshall helped write it as well, melodically. There's keys.
Is it really short?
No.
Because the file that's downloaded is 44 seconds long, so we can check out that much of it.
Really?
Yeah, well, let's hear this anyway and see what it is. Maybe it's a commercial for something else. Let's see what we got.
Oh, there we go.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Because it says it's 44 seconds long. It's kind of like the Spotify sample. That we
well, you only get a sample. You're going to have to go online and follow Kim Weston on Spotify.
Go buy the damn record, people.
The single.
Can we do again? There's parts we missed before. Can we do again? Would you once more? Fool me twice, shame on me. But I think this time we'll play nice. Nice to say, no trouble in paradise today.
Well, that's a short song.
Was that Kim, it?
But that's just awesome. I love how you just make him listen. Listen again. Hit play again. Never let him hit fast forward. Always make him skip back. No, that's great. I'm sorry that it only downloaded 44 seconds.
That's okay. Go find the rest of it.
I will. And I recommend that you do as well out there in listening land. But in the meantime, I would like to give Kim just a second to catch her breath. We're going to play another cut from the Fervor Records catalog just for a moment. And this will be another song from Francine Reed, because that's the kind of mood I'm in. And this tune is called Good Lovin' Woman. Check it out here on the Otto D Show.
Want to have a good loving woman.
listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
And that was Francine Reed with Good Lovin' Woman here on the Otto D Show, where my guest this evening is Kim Weston, the Kim Weston. Not the Kim Weston, but the other Kim Weston.
In fact, not the famous Motown artist, no.
Yeah, in fact, that's created enough of a problem for you. You told me the other day that you're thinking about changing your name from, not from Weston, but from Kim.
Well, I need a solution.
And you're stuck. You don't know what to change your name to.
I don't know yet.
So we want people to call 602-494-5699 and give us some name options.
Can they text too?
Not to that number.
Okay.
They can call 602-494-5699. Now, if you're calling after you're listening to the pre-record, you will be calling a different show. And they'll answer.
So don't call.
Yeah, it'll be like about money or something else. And they won't know what you're talking about. But if you want to give Kim an idea for a new name for her career that works with Weston, she's all ears.
There's a legendary, famous Motown artist who lives in Michigan named Kim Weston. It's disrespectful at this point for me to share the same name with her. It just is.
Yeah, and I looked for pictures of you online. And I'm like, gosh, you know, it doesn't look like her.
Doesn't look like her.
So it's an interesting thought. So you mentioned growing up, you were a big fan of Whitney Houston before we came on the show. And so you were thinking of Whitney Weston. But
Whitney Weston has a nice little ring to it.
A nice little ring is right. It sounds like a 7-year-old in a ballet dance.
Oh, it does?
Like Whitney Weston. Yeah, it just sounds a little too small to me. But I think there's got to be a bigger name out there.
Well, you wanted Houston Weston.
I think Houston Weston's kind of cool, but you didn't like, if you'd like Whitney, you know. But I think Houston Weston's kind of cool. But people would call you Huey, and that'd be hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, or Hugh. But I think there's a lot of options. So let's see what people get. And another way to do it is we have a pizza sponsor at therecordingartist.com called Il Bosco Pizza.
So good.
All their pizzas are named after cool girls' names. So go down their menu. You might get an idea.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. The Katrina Weston. You know, they have a bunch of them.
Can I go by just Weston?
How about Alana Weston?
Alana?
Yeah, E-L-A-N-A.
Sure.
That's another one, you know. Or Kay Weston, because then it's still Kim. Well, anyway, good luck with that name change thing.
Do you like the name Gingy?
The name what? Gingy?
My favorite jazz tune is Gingy.
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I think anything that you can't immediately spell or find or search is going to be a problem.
I know, that's true. How about just Weston? How hard is it to just have one name?
Oh, not just as a first name. You mean Weston.
Yeah.
Well, in pop, you know, I think it's happened and worked. Sounds like a hotel if it's by itself.
Sorry. It is a hotel.
Doesn't get my
it
vote.
Is a hotel.
Yeah, it doesn't get my
okay,
vote.
So I'm never going to get around to this, but yeah.
We need to find that name. But in the meantime, since we're not going to solve that problem
I'm the white girl, Kim Weston.
Yeah, and you've also had other problems like a lot of other people this year, and that is the pandemic. How has that, I know it's uprooted and you know, tipped your career upside down, but are you one of those people who have had to sit back and wait for things to get back to normal, or have you pivoted and changed what you're doing and created something new? What's been happening this year for you?
I think I'm pretty good at pivoting when I need to. I took a morning couple-hour job at a medi spa. I thought that was going to be so fun, and it was, and I loved the person that I worked for. So I did that for a little bit. I recently quit because I am getting busier with music, and I'm taking... one thing that I started is violin serenades for couples and proposals. I show up for, you know, I show up for a teeny little bit. It's usually a surprise for whoever hired me. So I started doing that. But yeah, I've just been writing more. I mean, as artists, we have a billion projects, you know. So it's nice to just have space and time and get back to that. My kids are home, so they do school from home. I have that, you know, going on. But I've enjoyed the pandemic besides the fact not being able to get everyone together in a studio, as many people as I want at one time. And some musicians aren't for hire right now. So that's the only harder thing, of course, and less gigs.
But. Right. But you've enjoyed the downtime or the quieter life it's created for you?
I have. Have you?
You know, I live my whole life in one room mostly anyway, unless I'm going out to play a show. So it hasn't felt that different to me.
Right.
And in terms of impact on what I do on a daily basis, it hasn't been dramatic.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
to me, I think the biggest impact has been I have had a heavy heart. I have felt heartbroken for all of my friends who survive as performers,
right?
Or crew. It's been so unbelievably devastating. It's something I don't even like to think about.
Right.
And the time it's going to take for things to come back to the way they were, or I'd like them, I just feel is still a bit of a ways off.
Especially people really that tour and do that kind of thing. Yeah.
So it's very unnerving, you know. Yeah. So I would say that's been the biggest impact, is to know what all of my friends and you know peers are going through, that where that is the primary part of their life. Mm-hmm. But you know, for me, I would perform 3 or 4 times a month and do one-off dates where we would travel and come back. And for me, they were all little mini vacations. So I've lost those.
Right.
And I do miss that 48 hours where I can't do anything. I'm not in charge. I'm a side man. I'm told to sit in the airport, sit in the restaurant, sit in the bus, sit in the hotel room, do sound check, do your show, go home. Mm-hmm. And I can't do anything. And I run everything I do in my life. I'm the boss of everything. So to be a side man's been a real blessing too. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to not being in charge again the next time we have a show. It's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But how about social media for you? Is that something that you use a lot or rely on? Or is it?
I'm trying to get better at it, and I'm fascinated by it. I love it. It is a job. I mean, that's why people hire out, you know, it could be a part-time job, full-time job, just to do your social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to do better with, I think I do more Instagram than Facebook, but I think more people do Facebook, so I should probably put some attention there.
TikTok seems to be the place to be.
I haven't gotten into that.
Me either. Yeah, it's like at some point they got to quit making new apps for us to use on social media. It's crazy. Well, how about, you know, you look like you take care of yourself, you dress nice, are you into healthy food, or what's your food world like?
I'm not that good into healthy food anymore. I mean, I used to be, but now I just love food,
mm-hmm.
and good drinks. Mm-hmm. I think, COVID, I can, you know, there's a lot of good cocktails now that we've made.
Look at all the things we've discovered with time.
Yeah.
Well, do you cook a lot yourself?
I'm not the greatest. Brian's really good at cooking, mm-hmm. so I leave that up to him. He's really good. It's like a, 2 to 3 hour meal. It takes a long time. It's fun.
Cooking
I
is
love
art,
it.
Too.
Yeah, and we've had plenty of time to do that, so I kind of leave it up to him. He's really good.
That's awesome. So what are you working on right now? Anything in particular? Or just writing?
Just
writing, like that's not something particular, you know?
Well, I feel like I have so many, you know, in the burner in terms of songs, but it's just getting into the studio with guys to hash it out and then recording it, producing it, mixing it, finding that thumbnail that works, mm-hmm. and posting it. Because I don't mind still releasing stuff right now if I could do all those things first, so I think I'm done writing new tunes. I just want to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a new poetry book that I'm really trying to publish. So looking to do that.
Yeah, you were telling me about that earlier.
Yeah, so I've just been writing for so long that I found 93 poems that I love.
Wow.
So I found a designer to, you know, put them in InDesign and just do a mock-up book. Last night I tried a mock-up, you know, cover for it. And then I just want to get a publisher for it. I don't want to self-publish. You're good at sending out, you know, your shirts and stuff. I just can't do it. I just want to get a publisher, give all my money away. I do not care.
Yeah.
On that side of things, I don't care.
Do you tend to are most of your lyrics from your poems, or do you really start from a separate place, or do you start by finding a poem?
I really do start by just the lyrics mean so much to me, so it really does start with the lyrics. Sometimes there's a melody in mind.
But I mean, do you start your lyrics by going through your poems and finding a poem, or is it start from fresh?
Oh, it's usually fresh.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the ones that I have not been able to put to song are poems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So at this point, there's a million I could do, but...
How often do you write poetry? What happens? Does something hits you and you grab a pencil?
I get real sad and then I...
So there's a lot of sad ones?
Yeah. I'll go on my phone and then sometimes I'll hear just a line or two from a friend or uh-huh. whoever I'm speaking to. We'll see what comes out of this. No, just kidding.
If I make you sadder here, it'll be more productive for you.
Yeah.
Do you find that that's true? You get more out of a heartbreak from a creative point of view than you do from being happy?
Yes, and I think it's unfortunate, and I think we should all learn better skill sets in that regard. But So I'll write another thing I do is try to make sense of something. So I feel like my poems and lyrics are pretty contradicting because I'm just trying to wrestle with that idea and get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you think of it from a few different perspectives as you're writing it, then you can sit on it or be okay with it because you're seeing it from I'm seeing it from this perspective. So maybe I can breathe and be okay with this, but... You know, so that's kind of how I write.
Who are some artists? I never ask people this because to me it's just one of those things that seems lame, except that all of a sudden I wanted to know.
Oh.
And that is, who are some artists that you listen to today that you really like?
I've always been a huge fan of Norah Jones, of course. I love Melody Gardot. I love did a little trip to France and I found a few other artists there that I loved.
A little trip to France.
A little
like trip. Like an overnight just jaunt or
a couple weeks.
A little longer. Okay.
I say little because I want it like 2 months.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I love French vocalists. I think those are, well, I love the French language. So, but yeah, I was trying to do that during COVID too.
Hmm.
Hired a teacher and everything.
To learn French?
Yeah, so I was in Marciac, France, and I did a little Airbnb cooking school, and his girlfriend is a French teacher and English teacher, and she just teaches language, and she's so good. So during COVID, you know, I had some time. So once a week we started it. Don't ask me to say too much, but I did ask her to start me off with just French lyrics. So we started with Livion Rose, and then we're just going to go through French lyrics, and that's how I'll learn French.
And is that a French song, so you can sing these songs as well?
I would love to sing those songs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can sing that one song that's on the insurance commercial that's on all day long? Dong!
I don't know.
I can't
that
say
one.
The words. You know, the car, the drive in the car with the stuff on the top of the, in the car all the time.
Okay. Is it French?
I think it's a Progressive commercial. Yeah, it's a French song.
Oh, great. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
But, well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you got planned for 2021? You mentioned that your calendar's starting to fill up.
Let's see. I've been doing these porch concerts. I think that's still going to go on for a while. So during COVID, this is actually really inspiring and really great of a friend of mine, Allison and Nick. They hold porch concerts. I don't know if you're hip to this or not, but it's amazing. On their porch, and 50 to 100 people show up. They've been starting to promote them, and every single Saturday, so now you can go 528 Live on Instagram or 528 West Granada Road in Willow District, and bands will show up. Or actually, this Saturday, it's Misty Boyce. She's a solo artist, amazing. You should interview her too.
Okay. Give me your number.
Yeah. So they all, every Saturday, they have a porch concert, and everyone shows up, and it's social distancing because it's outside. Some people wear masks. You bring your wine, and let's see.
So I think of a porch as a front porch.
It's a front porch.
Okay, like, is there a driveway and a street and all these people in chairs trying to stay out of the road? Is that kind of what's happening?
We block off the road in the early morning with buckets. And it is
and nobody
no
cares.
Car. No, because the neighbors love it.
That's really cool.
They have
cool.
free concerts every single Saturday. It's donation-based, but we all walk away with tips and, you know, enough as a normal gig, I would say. So
that's awesome.
It's really cool.
How long has that been going on?
Let's see. Oh, gosh. I want to say 6 months maybe, but they took a few months off during summer because it was too hot. During winter, we've still gone strong.
It's almost getting too cold to do it too early.
We did put it an hour up, so now it starts at 5. So 5 p.m. Seriously, people should go to the porch concerts. They're super cool. But that just started organically because Allison and Nick were like, we still want live music. We have no place to go. Musicians still want to work. They have no place to work. And voila.
Yeah, it's like the only place that can't hire you is a venue.
Right.
But any park or any drive-in theater or anything that's outside doesn't have a building where you can space people out enough.
Right.
You know, can
but hire. there's I think some restaurants and venues are opening up now.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a few. I did Hyatt last month. So there's still a few that are opening. Yeah, I'm just going to do a lot of violin serenades until the world opens up again. So if anybody wants that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Kim, thanks so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
It's been fun chatting with you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for the 13th.
And, me too. So, yeah, if you want to watch Kim online cut a song from scratch with some amazing musicians, go to therecordingartist.com, sign up for free, check it out, and then, you know, $2.99 a month, up, you can read it. I don't want to go through it all again. But so you can watch. And if you join as a member of the A&R department, you can actually chat with us on the big screen in the session, including giving us your opinion about what we're doing and
that's cool.
Which way it should go. So that'd be a lot of fun. Love to have you there. And, gosh, I was just going to say something else, but I know. Anyway, I guess thanks for coming in.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I remember. Yeah. I just want to apologize to people listening. If you really aren't into sports, I've never had a guest where we started talking about track and everything else. And what we didn't get into, which we were going to get into, was during the last tune that was playing, Kim asked me, of all the sports, which one do you think is more like jazz? And she started giving me her argument as to why basketball is like jazz.
And I know, you said rock and roll.
I didn't initially agree, but the finesse in basketball, I agree, is very jazzy. And when those guys leave the ground in the air and spin their bodies and then let the ball go just off the tip of their finger, that's pretty jazz.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, well, thanks again for coming in.
Thank you.
And hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, I'd love
to. And I'll see you next week.
I love it.
All right, take care.